Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome everyone on this delightful October 11, 2019. We are glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us here at Spirit of Truth Ministry for another edition of our program, our flagship program, Bible on Trial. Today, we are in Southern California experiencing some high winds and some fires. And as a matter of fact, last night, yesterday afternoon late, we had a fire that was started by a trash truck who somehow picked up maybe some coals or embers or something like that from someone on his route and discovered that his load was burning inside of his truck. So he stopped in at the Bob's Big Boy restaurant parking lot, dumped it in the parking lot. And right then the wind blew the embers right into the brush at the side and started a fire that took out some of the mobile homes that were just down the way a little bit. And that thing burned all the way through to Redlands before they were able to get it contained. So we have had some excitement here, but we hope today will go well and without having any problems, especially with Southern California Edison threatening to cut off our power at any moment. So we'll pray for that. Good morning, Rick. How are you doing today up in Camarillo?
Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, everyone. Doing fine. Sitting here listening to your fire report.
Yes, you got away just in time. So, well, let's have prayer and we'll get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a peaceful day, a joyous day of study to learn the truth. Father, the words of Jesus as he gave to his eyewitness disciples are the best fire insurance that we can own, and it doesn't cost anything. And I pray today, Father, we will learn how to bolster our knowledge of the truth so that we can not only be in the kingdom ourselves, but that we can also lead others to that kingdom so that we will all have a joyous eternity together. I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don. Nice to see you here today.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Rick, we are happy that you had a safe trip up there and that your things are going well for you. And what do you have for us today?
I noticed you're a little bit choppy, breaking up a little bit, Dennis. I don't know if it's on my end or your end.
We're getting a little choppy. So we are getting a little bit of chop. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to check and see what our connection to the internet looks like. But all I can say is we're supposed to have 500 megabits up and 500 megabits down, so I'm hoping that that's the case today, and it keeps going nicely.
Yeah, I hope so. You can kind of understand it, which was something I was thinking about or at least starting out today with the presentation. there was a YouTube video put out by Bill Still, and he was talking about how YouTube was blocking, basically blocking audio and disrupting video of certain programs that were exposing the truth, particularly
hey, Rick,
the Tuck. Yes.
Could you check your the amount of bars that you have? I don't know. We're getting chopped too. It's not from us.
I have two bars.
That's probably it. So we'll just make.
You know who was the guy who was listening?
But
to
I
you?
Should
okay,
be
so.
On. I'm on the internet here. I mean,
yeah.
I'm using the Wi-Fi here. I'm at my brother-in-law's house, and I am on his Wi-Fi really strong.
We'll just keep trucking.
Okay, we'll just keep trucking.
What's the guy's name on YouTube?
So the guy's name on YouTube was what?
Bill Still was his name.
Ben Still?
Bill Still.
Bill. Okay.
Nice rhyme.
And
build.
Yeah. Anyway, what's interesting is that I had noticed this happening, but I thought it was, you know, internet connection or something like that. And then he was talking about it because one of his viewers had noticed it. And it was a viewer that didn't have a television at all. So all of his video is internet. Am I doing any better? I moved a little bit.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Okay.
We're getting it.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right. And so he gave an example. Showing how particularly lately has been Rudy Giuliani's information that he's been giving, and it was on the Hannity show. And right when he was going to say who it was that he who did this, the audio went out completely, and his lips were just moving. Once he was done with that, he came back on. And then he went into another critical part of it. And not only did the audio get cut off, but the picture started to look almost scrambled. It was pixelated and the pixels were moving around. And then as soon as he was finished, it all cleared up and you could hear him. I have noticed this too. In particular, whole segments have been deleted off of YouTube from like a Tucker Carlson or a Hannity show.
I've noticed it also.
So what am I talking about? How does this apply to anything with the Bible? Do you have any ideas, Dennis? Or
Satan does not want the truth to get out because Satan's kingdom cannot function where there is truth. To put it in broad terms.
Well, here's the thing. You see what is going on in this country right now with this impeachment. Now, what is the most American, what is their feeling about, typically, about their government? You know, the Congress, the president, the judicial system, the leadership, like the state governors and their representatives and so on.
Well,
what do
Rick,
most
Well, I'm not going to say that most. I think that we're pretty equally divided. There is one side of this that actually trusts their government more than they trust individuals to do
no
the
matter
right
what.
Thing.
If you can trust anybody, you can trust your government.
That's exactly right. Then there's the other half who basically says, I don't trust the government as far as I can throw a Steinway grand piano. In other words, just let me do my thing and get out of my way. So we have a dichotomy. And I am not even, I used to think that it was pretty equally divided, but now that we have this censorship going, and it is real, that is real, and I've noticed it myself, and Don even said that he has noticed it. I'm convinced that the majority now is on the side of distrust for government. And this is the reason why Donald Trump was elected. It was not because Donald Trump was a great politician. It was because he wasn't a great politician. He simply
wasn't a politician at all.
He's not a politician at all. He's having to learn a little bit. But the fact is, he is not a politician. He is simply getting the job done. And have you seen the red and the blue counties map in the United States? It's no wonder he won the Electoral College. Thank God for it.
So here's the thing, my next question, Dennis. How many families in this country have remained true to their political party generation after generation?
Oh, I think there have been a lot up until now. I watched and I cannot remember this guy's name. He was on Huckabee's show. He was being interviewed by Huckabee, and he was an elderly black person, elderly black man, and he was saying that the identity of the black voter has been Democrat for literally 100 years, but now that identity is being changed, and it looks like, from what I've been able to gather, that the number of black voters that are now supporters is in the 38% range. They said
that it's gone up from 8% to 38%.
Right. And one pundit said that when the black vote reaches 30%, Donald Trump cannot be beaten in any election. So,
now, here's my question, Dennis. What would cause that? Because for generations, the families of color would remain true to the party of their parents and their grandparents, because they were told that that party cared about them, would take care of them, make sure they had their civil rights, and on and on. So what would make that situation change? Why would someone like a third or a fourth generation Democrat change to a Republican
and walk away? Because they are learning the truth.
Absolutely. Dennis, right on. Only the truth, and they're seeing it. Because what is happening is that they are now seeing quite they're seeing it demonstrated that what they were told about that party is not true. And they're actually hearing that historically the party was lying to them and they didn't know it and was using them. I mean, you know, promising them peace and prosperity, but keeping them right where they were all along.
And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. This is what this gentleman said. He said, by voting for the Democrats, nothing has changed for the black community in 100 years in the United States. And now they are seeing the lowest unemployment rate. They are seeing the highest incomes. They are seeing more black families moving into the middle class. They are seeing more black families off of welfare than ever before in the history of the United States.
So
and this is the black
government.
I'll have to find his name. I can probably look it up.
What they're discovering is that this party kept telling them what they wanted to hear, but never delivered it. And always kept them dependent on the party through their social programs and basically they were controlled through their social program. So do you know where I'm going with this, Dennis?
Okay, Dennis, I stepped away for a minute, so you're talking to Don now. Go ahead.
All right, Don. So where I'm going with this is Jeremiah chapter 8. Verses 8 and 9.
Okay.
How dare you say we are wise and we possess the law of Yahweh? But look how it has been falsified by the lying pen of the scribe. The wise shall be shamed, caught out, confounded. Look how they have rejected the word of Yahweh. So what use is their wisdom to them? The devil is gifted at lying. God's son said that the devil was a liar from the beginning. That's in John 8, if I can get it here real quick. John 8. And let's start with verse 41. We were not born of prostitution, they went on. We have one Father, God. Jesus answered, if God were your Father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. You. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose to. No, I was sent by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. The devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he is drawing on his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. But as for me, I speak the truth. And for that very reason, you do not believe me. Can one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children.
Now that's pretty spectacular.
That's said pretty well there.
Yeah, it is.
Because they had just told him that their father was God. And so he ends that little discourse with, if you were a child of God, listen to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children. Dennis, is that still true today?
It is not only still true, it is, again, demonstratively magnified in what we are seeing, not only coming out of Washington, but what we are seeing coming out from the pulpits of the Christian church.
You know, I see people who have a T-shirt on or a bumper sticker on their car, and it'll say something like, the words of Jesus are life, or the words of Jesus are the information we must live by. And my,
but I kind of laugh when I see that.
My experience is that when you start talking to them about the words of Jesus, they quickly move into the words of Paul.
Rick, can you hear me?
Barely, Don. You're a little. Get a little closer to the speaker.
I'm practically swallowing the mic. But see,
I can hear you.
The statement you made there is absolutely true, what's written on that bumper sticker. The people in that car don't have a clue what that means because they're not following Jesus. Am I correct in that?
They don't. Yes.
And so
they equate Paul's words with Jesus' words.
So, you know, I'm running into this all the time myself, so there's an immediate challenge there because you have to kind of diplomatically, quietly tell them that what's on that bumper sticker is absolutely true. But if they suddenly deviate the message of Jesus, they are not following Jesus.
Those words are absolutely true, but why don't you believe them?
Well, see, you're talking to a non-thinking person, man, they'll fight you. See, I run into this almost every day. The words are absolutely accurate on the bumper sticker, but the people promoting that don't have a clue. They're not following Jesus. That's a real interesting trick by Satan.
And it is ironic because the people who have those bumper stickers, who take the time to basically ruin their car by putting a bumper sticker on it, are incredibly sincere. And yet, sincerity will not gain you entry into the kingdom of God.
And that's what I was saying earlier, what I meant earlier when I was saying about people in this country and their trust of Congress and the president and the judicial system. There are people, and it may be a significant number of them, that believe that Congress and the president and the judicial system are true and honest just because they should be. And so they believe that they are because they should be. In the, when we take this into the spiritual, there are people who believe that every word in the Bible is the truth because it should be.
You know, that's an interesting thought, Rick. That goes to expectation. When we are all of us, almost every day, all of us are filled with expectation. I expect that, you know, I'm either going to have a good day at work or a bad day at work. I expect, for me personally, I expect that I'm going to have to put air in my right rear tire because it's leaking like a sieve and I haven't yet gone in to get new tires. I have these expectations about how life should be, not how life is, but how life should be. And this does carry over into our understanding of truth.
Do you think the devil uses that expectation to his advantage?
He uses everything to his advantage. Everything.
I believe that is why we find there in Jeremiah chapter 8. Those words that were told to Jeremiah, that the people's expectation of the law is that it is true, trustworthy, and accurate. And using that expectation to his advantage, the devil has had the scribes change meanings by changing words and taking the truth and turning it into a lie. And the people, through their certain expectation, are now believing the lie because they think it is the truth. Their expectation is that it's the truth because it's in the law.
And even more today, they expect that the entire Bible from cover to cover is the truth because it's simply in the Bible.
So you can see how the devil would feel threatened by someone who has learned the truth and is sharing it with others. Now, feeling threatened and being threatened are two different things. And what I mean by that is, whenever the truth is being expressed, there is a threat that someone might do their research and find out whether it is the truth or not. And with an honest research in the area of truth, there will always be a, it will always end with, this is the truth. That is a lie. So where the threat becomes realized is if a certain number of people start doing their own research. Now, you know, I talked earlier about, Dennis, when you were talking about, is that Jerry Elder?
Yes, that's the guy. Jerry Elder.
Jerry
yes.
Elder, yes. That all he did was look at the evidence from history and found out that there's a whole race of people living in this country that have been lied to for over 100 years.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And he did the intelligent thing. He said, I'm not going to stay with these people. I'm going to switch. Because he not only did he research the Democratic Party, he researched the Republican Party and found out that everything the Democrats said they were doing for the black people, the Republicans were doing for the black people.
And you know, one of the issues too, one of the great issues that has been obscured by the lying left is that after the Civil War in the South, the Republicans helped arm the freed slaves to keep them from being, so they would have means of self-defense against the militant arm of the Democrat Party, which is the Ku Klux Klan, and they, by doing this, prevented countless hangings and beaten to death. And this is something that has not been made clear to the black population, because if it is, they would actually revolt against the Democrats.
Right. Now, what I've noticed is that blacks who have important positions in the Democratic Party, now they're not going to be in top position, but they'll be in important position. You show them the truth, and they will argue against it. And I think that this is like...
All that has to do with, Rick, is simply the prestige and the money of where they are. It's the position. They feel better off where they are than where they... See, if they acknowledge the truth, it means they would actually have to go out and work for a living.
Why do you think that the scribes would change the law and turn it into a lie? Were they not Jews just like all the rest of them? Were they not the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Were they not a chosen people with a certain promise? Why do you think they would do something that they knew was wrong?
Money and position.
Right. It was not some future, a promise that would deliver something in the future. It was I don't want to call it a promise, but it was a way of getting that now, getting money now, getting influence now, getting power now.
And that is why the Democrats continually have this promise to the black community, vote for us, and eventually, someday, this will change for you. But it never does.
It never does because it can't. that party cannot allow them to do that, because then they would start challenging them for the positions that they were holding. You know, I mean, you don't want to give them equal rights. You want to give them a sense that that's what you're doing, but you never give it to them.
And Candace Owens appeared before a congressional committee and laid them, and again, since this is a House committee, it's run by Democrats, and she laid them low as far as what they were doing to the Black community, and they had no response. It was interesting. When she finished, they had no response.
Yeah, but, you know, how many people change? Some do. I granted, some do. But how many really change? They go back to their life as usual, and then it just kind of all stays the same. What God has done is he has made very clear that once his plan has been accomplished here on earth, he will deliver paradise. The thing is that the plan must be accomplished here on earth first, and then he will deliver paradise for eternity. Everything that is worth having is worth meeting the requirements for. I know you've heard is, you know, worth working for, but working is not the right word. Working is like works. There is work involved, but that's not the purpose of it. There's requirements involved. And those requirements need performance, indeed, to accomplish the requirements. You can't work hard at getting to heaven or getting to the earth made new if you are not following the plan. If you're not following the plan exactly, all you're doing is hard work, and it's not going to accomplish anything. And then, of course, there are those who think that all they need to do is to have their ticket punched, get on the train, take their seat, and next stop, paradise.
Rick, in Revelation, there are some expressions of this in, hang on here, I'm going to go back to chapter 1. It's chapter 3, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to chapter 3 here, and there is a word that implies doing, and that is the word overcomes. This is Revelation 3:21, one of my very favorite verses in the entire Bible, because what the angel is telling John is this: he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The question then becomes, overcomes what?
The process of overcoming indicates doing something.
That's exactly right. Overcome what? How?
Okay. Answer.
Well, here's a question that will give you a clue. did the man and the woman in the garden overcome?
No, Kemosabe, they did not.
So what did they do? Why? What made them not overcome? What was it they needed to overcome?
They need to overcome, apparently, a natural inclination to believe the truth. They believed I as if it was the truth.
So overcoming is doing what God says and not what Satan says.
Absolutely.
Do you know that you have to be able to make the demand? There's a demand of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is a demand of righteousness.
But you have to be able to discern and differentiate that from what has been taught to you throughout your entire life that you believe implicitly and with your whole heart is the truth. And we go back to that bumper sticker. You see,
yes.
For most people, the words of Jesus are simply the words that someone has told them. This is what Jesus said. They haven't bothered to do any research on their own. They haven't bothered to look it up for themselves. They haven't bothered to do a compare and contrast. And Dr. Tim, you're a teacher. You've assigned compare and contrast papers. I have, as a teacher. And what are we trying to get our students to do? Think.
Exactly. The man and the woman in the garden started out their life only hearing the truth. That's all they were told. They hadn't heard any lie. The serpent comes into the garden and he leads them into his setup, his lie.
Oh, I'm sorry. He leads them down the garden path. I had just thought of that. That's a good one.
Yes.
He did. He led them down the garden path. Which
right.
is a euphemism for leading them into the brambles and to the bushes.
Now, what does the woman say in answer to his question? You know, about eating from a tree. What does she say?
From any tree we can eat.
But not from that tree in the midst of the garden. We're never to eat, because if we do, or she says even touch it, because if we do, he will put us to death on that very day. And the serpent says, no, he will not put you to death.
And by the way, Rick, just a quick comment here. If Adam and Eve were not familiar with death, this would not have meant anything to them. They were living
in
the
garden.
Well,
they were not familiar with a lie either. Were they familiar
That's right.
with a liar?
Apparently not.
What I'm saying here is we come to our point of decision, quote unquote, from the totally opposite side perspective from the man and the woman in the garden. All we've been taught are lies. All we believe about God are lies. our moment is to decide, are we going to continue with the lies that we've been born into, that we've been taught, that we've grown up with, that we've practiced, that we've worshiped, and that we have put our whole expectation of eternal life based upon the lies that we've been told? Or are we going to say, I want to see if what I have been told all my life is the truth? Where would you go to find the truth?
Well, I'm going to give you a Bible verse that, by the way, that is conversation between Satan and the woman that you just mentioned is found in Genesis 3:1 and on. And this is found in the Bible, where we can find truth in the Bible, but you have to know where to look, because it is not, as we found out via Jeremiah 8:8-9, it is not everywhere in the Bible.
So are you finding the verse, Dennis, or are you?
No, that was the verse I had wanted to mention, just Genesis 3:1 and on.
Okay.
Because this is the truth. This is found in the Bible. It is the truth. But there is also not truth in the Bible based on Jeremiah 8:8-9, and based on Jesus to his disciples in Matthew 24, see to it that no one leads you astray.
And like what I read from John, you know, chapter 8, if God was your father, you would love me. It's pretty simple. But here's the thing. In Egypt, did the children of Israel, the Hebrews living in Egypt, know the truth?
No, they did not. They had even forgotten
about
their
God. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they had forgotten about it.
They didn't know. I mean, even Moses didn't know. He didn't know the truth. I mean, he's asking the voice in the burning bush, who are you? What's your name? So what did the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob do as he expressed to Moses what he wanted to do? What did he tell Moses that he wanted to do? Well, he wanted the people released.
Right.
The people did not belong to him. You understand that, right?
Yes. And God is not
a thief. The Hebrews living in Egypt did not belong to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They belonged to the gods of Egypt that was, and their ruler was Pharaoh, who ruled at the behest of the gods of Egypt. In fact, I think they even said that the Pharaoh was a son of the gods. So God needed Pharaoh to release his authority over the Hebrews before he could take them for himself. What was it that made the Hebrews in Egypt be under the authority of Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt? It was that they, acted in accordance with the rules of the gods of Egypt. How do you think they knew about worshiping a golden calf?
Oh, they got that from Egypt, sure. Absolutely.
See? So what God needed to do was teach them the truth. That's the main part of the sanctification process. So he had to enter into a blood covenant with them, which was the Passover lamb. Then they needed to be baptized in water. He took them through the Red Sea. He brings them out into the wilderness, and what does he give them?
Information. Teaches them the truth.
Yeah, he gives them the law.
Right.
He gives them the law. And he gives them the two stone tablets of the testimony. The testimony that if you do this, I will do this.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yes.
It's like the man and the woman in the garden. If you don't eat from that tree, you'll live forever. You'll live here in this garden forever. As long as you don't eat from that tree. If you ever eat from that tree, I'm putting you to death on that day. So what God was doing was meeting the demands of righteousness for the people so that they would become his holy nation. When they, after they were in the land and had been living in the land for a long time and not ever accomplishing the requirement, the last requirement, which was to learn the truth and the truth would set them free from bondage to sin, which is exactly the words of the Son of God, they continued on in their sinful practices all the way through until it was time for the judgment. And when it was time for the judgment, God sent his prophets. And what were the prophets doing? They were reaffirming and upholding the law of Moses, that the people needed to be doing what the law of Moses said. And, of course, the people didn't listen. Some people did. You know, I mean, Daniel and his three friends, and there were people throughout each generation that did uphold the law and did do what God had required. You know, Naboth and his vineyard, we know that. So it's not that there weren't anybody in there. It was that God needed everybody to do it. And the plan was is that once the majority of people would meet the demands of righteousness, that those who refused were put to death. I mean, that's like the garden in the paradise of God. They were put to death. And then God would have a holy nation that was at one not only with themselves and each other, but with him. One with him, one, and they were one together.
And he would have a holy nation, and they would be wholly his.
Yes, and holy in fact, not in faith. Anyway, you know, they went into captivity. He said he'd give them one more chance. He brought back the second generation out of captivity. They came back into the land, but they just carried on the same practices that they'd learned in Babylon. They never, ever got to that required place. But this time, it seems like the religious leaders wised up, and they took the law of Moses and used it to keep the people in slavery. to sin, you know, to Satan. And that's when God's son showed up. He was the last of the prophets. And his testimony not only upheld the law, but said the dynamic of the kingdom is being changed. It's no longer going to be the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's responsibility to do this, because they've already had two chances and they failed both times. Now it's going to be up to anyone who is willing to meet the requirements of the kingdom, for the kingdom of God.
Rick, can I say something?
Sure.
Okay, you said something 2 minutes ago that's extremely important. You said the Son of God was the last of the prophets. Did you not?
Yes.
Yeah, and I, and 1,000% agree. So for our thinking listeners out there, just give it a little thought, because most every group that pops up underneath a prophet. I'm talking about religious groups. You know what I'm saying? Am I making myself clear? This group formed because of a prophet. This group because of a prophetess. This group formed from a prophet. Virtually every group out there today, Christian groups, have stemmed from some kind of prophet. Well, all of these people came after Jesus. And I'm reminded of that famous text in John 19:30. And the reason I can remember that, just think of an old car, 19:30, where it said Jesus cried out, "It is finished," dropped his head and died. And I'll never forget, after one of these sessions, right out there in the front lawn, you asked me, "Don, what was finished?" And I think that's a great thing for our listeners to contemplate, because when Jesus said it is finished, it's like putting a period at the end of the sentence. It's done. Anything that comes after that is really of non-effect. Jesus said it's done. Okay, I hope I articulated that adequately.
Yes. Now, there's a prophecy about the end time that the Son of God gave to John in Revelation, which, you know, someone might argue.
But it was still given by the prophet.
Yes, it was still given by the prophet. And what John was, and what John says about himself, is he's a messenger. Now, a prophet can be a messenger, I've said that. But a prophet is given, a message is given to a messenger. They are only required to deliver it. And they're required to deliver it just as it was given. And the important thing is, it's the one who has sent the message that has the authority to say what that message says. The one who delivers it is responsible to deliver it, but he doesn't carry the responsibility of the message, the content of the message itself. So 1 minute left.
My thinking is it's the same prophet. It's the same last prophet that made that prophecy.
Right. And you're right.
The quicksand starts when we start depending on all these early prophets that came since then.
So I will be there with you tomorrow in person.
Well, thank you. I thank everybody for listening. We will be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. We will also be here a week from today and on into the future until the time comes for us to meet our responsibility here on this earth. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis. Stay so long for now. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. and have a great day.
heavens, not my home.